Welcome back to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show. I'm Chuck Berry. And in the studio with us right now, I have Mike Kinnear. Mike's no stranger to radio. He did the dirt track show for years and talked about racing and all that. Outdoorsman. He likes to cook. So that's why him and I are probably talking, because I like to cook and obviously I like to eat. So, Mike, welcome to the show. And we'll talk about a little bit about everything. Mike's got a spice out, and you can get this several places throughout the county, can't you?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Uncle Killer's grilling and chilling, all spices.
You need them glasses, Chuck.
Yeah, I got to get them. So Don tells me, you know, you're the older of the two, but I try to tell him he is. So, how did you get in the spice game, brother?
Well, you know, I just got tired of carrying 4 or 5 bottles of seasoning to the grill. So I started mixing up my own blend and was giving away to relatives. And actually how I got the idea was I had a whole lot of tomatoes left out of my garden. I took it to work when I worked at Longaberger Baskets. And I sat a bottle in my little mason jar there with the seasoning in it. People were cutting up fresh tomatoes and putting it on their tomatoes. And they were like, wow, that stuff's really good. Where'd you get it at? And I said, well, I made it myself. And they're like, well, you know, I'd probably buy some of that.
Right.
Well, I didn't think anything about it. In a couple years, I kicked it around, and lo and behold, I'm selling seasoning.
Yeah, it's out on the shelves. I know where I've ran into it is at the Wine Rack.
Wine Rack, Giacomo's. They both carry it. Exxon Station out in Vista View, they have it. They say sell a lot of it out there.
Good stuff. I've put it on salad before, and I thought, yes, I eat salad. And
Well, it's just not for meats. I mean, you put it on fried vegetables and chili, on spaghetti.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've even eaten it on chocolate ice cream. You know, if you like that salt and sweet thing together.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So what's some of your biggest suggestions to use the spice rub with?
My favorite's pork chops, chicken. Smoking wise, you know, I like to use something a little bit sweeter, like some apple wood type seasoning, but I still mix some of that on there, you know, if you're doing the smoking thing. Hamburgers, hot dogs, brats, I load it up. The more you use, the better it is.
There you go. And we'll tell folks how they can get a hold of that. There is a website, isn't there?
Yep, UncleKillers.com. Also have a Facebook page, Uncle Killers. You can go there as well.
Good deal. Well, Mike, you're kind of rich in your family's kind of rich into the heritage of racing in the area, and it's been something you've been passionate about for years. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I've been involved in. Well, I traveled with my dad. He was traveled with Doris Wisecarver for years, and
wow.
I started going down cutting my teeth at Pennsboro when I was very young, when they had the big bleachers down there before they caught on fire. So. I've been around racing my whole life. I had some good success myself racing, had the radio show. My son's been racing. CJ's been racing go-karts now for about 8 years, and I'm moving him up into sport mod class, which is like a modified for the 2018 season.
And he's done well at it.
Oh, yeah, very well. Yeah, he's probably won 40-plus features and 2 track championships.
Wow. And just enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. You know, go-kart racing is a little stressful for me. You know, there's tire prep involved. And
yeah.
I don't know, it's just, I like it. I like the people and stuff. But, you know, the big car stuff to me is just, you know, you race, your car's good. You just kind of leave it sit and let it cool down and get back out there.
Good deal. So the sun's going to be racing again next summer. How many races you guys hit in the summertime?
Well, we're going to try to race every Friday and Saturday night. You know, we're going to try to run for the AMRA Sport Mod Rookie of the Year. So that's my goal, you know.
Yeah.
My other goal is just keeping him on the track, keeping the car in good shape, and just, you know, getting him laps.
Mike, I'm amazed how much money goes into some of these sports now. But if you're passionate about it and that's what you want to do, God forbid I don't ever want to tell my wife what I really spend on guns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
my wife's listening, so I really can't say either.
Well, my biggest fear is she'll sell them all someday for what I told her I paid for them.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a lot of good sponsorship. I have a lot of good friends that have businesses and stuff. And, you know, the big thing, you know, when you're in racing and you want to be somewhat successful is you have to be a good PR man on the other end.
Right.
You know, you have to get your sponsorship name out there. You know, it's a very important part of it.
Gotcha. I know it gets expensive, but you guys have got some great sponsors, and feel free to thank those folks for sure at one point here. A lot of opportunity out there. Now, Mike, also in the family, a lot of tradition of hunting and fishing.
Yeah. You know, I've been, like your previous guest, Mike, I've been out in the woods since, well, I was carrying a BB gun when I wasn't allowed to carry a shotgun.
Right.
And I was, you know, out there with my dad and grandpa and uncle. My grandpa was game warden here in Muskingum County for till he retired. Well, he didn't really retire, but he went down around Athens, was there, that whole district down there. And my Uncle Dick, he was a game warden in Coshocton County.
Yeah.
So I always had heard some good stories. Wish I could remember some of them, though. I was pretty little. I should say young.
Do you ever remember, and I always, with my granddad, when you were a kid then, you just sat and you were quiet because you were just in awe of some of those great stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, chasing people with their lights off. And,
right.
You know, it's the stuff you kind of watch in on our three channels we used to watch on TV.
Right. I learned math that way. 6, 10, 4.
Right. So, right.
Anyways, yeah, great heritage of hunting and fishing. Can you remember that first deer hunt that you got one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I still have this. It's a skull. My dad would never let me have a full dress mount. So,
gotcha.
You know, I've got a lot of racks in my barn, but it is what it is. I'm fortunate enough that I've got some health issues with my legs and stuff, but my nephew Jason Lawson took CJ out last year, and CJ shot his first buck last year, which was a really nice trophy. Well, I call it a trophy buck. It was a 9-point with a drop tine. And
nice.
Yeah, really nice deer. And so I'm trying to keep that going. My other two boys didn't have too much desire in hunting, but sometimes that's just the way it works out.
Right, right. Well, congratulations to CJ. It's good that you're kind of passing it on. I know, like you said, your granddad served as a wildlife officer for years, and that's, you know, it's always cool when you're around those folks that are just like-minded, and you're drawn to what they – I get jealous of some of those guys because they get to do things every day that I like to do.
Yep.
They rarely we get to get in the woods, you know.
Yeah, live a nice, long, healthy life because
they do
outside, and, yeah, yep. It's a good life.
Yeah, a friend of mine had a wildlife officer, 82 years of age, this year during bow season, get a real nice deer. I'll have to show you a picture of that. But
yeah.
But you're like, wow, when I'm 82,
yeah.
I hope I can even carry a deer still.
Yeah. And you know, with my family being involved in hunting for so long, you know, we were talking earlier before the show started about my deer hunting accident.
I did want to talk about that.
Yeah, you know, and it happened, how long did I tell you?
29 years.
Yeah, 29 years ago. So, yeah, I've gotten a 29-year lease on life. You know, I really should have died that day. You know, the slug went in below my heart, exited through my right rib cage, and through the grace of God and 13 units of blood, and Father Ciccone coming up and anointing me, and, you know.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So you were just hunting, and this incident, again, it happened 29 years ago. Just kind of a odd thing, how about did it happen?
It was just an odd thing. I was standing. There was a group of guys driving. I saw them come down off the hill, and they went out in front of me, and they jumped to, there was probably 3 or 4 doe, and they come back in between us. There was some saplings in between us, but we just didn't have enough height where we could see each other. If I could have stood up like on a concrete block, you know, he probably could have seen my orange hat, but he shot at one of the deer thinking I was further down, and the result was a slug.
Yeah, well.
And it's not like it is in the movies either.
No.
When you get shot, it's the real deal.
It's the real deal. I can attest to that, too. Mike, so the event happened. I obviously, you know, when these kind of events happen, everything kind of has to be perfect. Obviously, there was people there to help, and you know, obviously, there's that trip into the hospital. How did that all go?
Oh, man, I when we got in the car, I remember going backwards about 100 mile an hour and sliding around onto Route 16, and we flew into Dresden. Luckily, there was a couple guys there, Wolford, which was the fire chief and stuff at the time, which has passed since then. He was there and another volunteer, and they transported me into Zanesville. They couldn't get an IV started, so they had some paramedics meet us about Vista View area. And into the hospital, right into the trauma room, and it was like being in a movie. There was surgeons around me, and
You are the focus of attention, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you wanted to have me on earlier before gun season, talking about gun safety, but, you know, it's, you know, I heard about some people getting shot this year gun hunting, and, you know, you just need to take your time. You need to know what you're shooting at. You need a good visual. You know, if you're not sure what you're shooting at, you don't shoot ever.
You know, and we say it enough, and we say it hundreds of times, and I have some people say, boy, you guys always push that. You always push that. Well, this is kind of close to home here. You know, I tell the story about a friend of mine that was turkey hunting one time, raised the old Pepsi cans that are blue and red, the same color as a turkey beard, and guess what? He got blasted.
Wow.
And you just think, wow. I mean, you know, it is close to home. What did you have to go through some therapy or
I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and you know, I got out. I think I'd lost a lot of weight, which I wasn't very heavy then anyway. But and I haven't been back out hunting since. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, as much as I loved hunting, whether it was squirrel, rabbit, deer, you know, I took up fishing, which, you know, I fished a lot before, but I really started fishing a lot after my hunting accident. And I don't know, I still have desire, but I always wanted to take up the bow hunting aspect of it, which I still think I may do that.
Less crowded.
Yeah, less crowded, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. You know what I've always said about, and I've got to bow hunt some too, what I've said is you'll have a great appreciation for the animal you're harvesting. You'll have a great appreciation for all the stuff that runs around the woods when you're out there just by yourself, kind of, you know, it's nothing like it is during gun season, that's for sure.
And, yeah.
And again, we you know, always hope that gun season's safe. Unfortunate situation. I know a young man several years back, he shot, hit a deer, went through the deer, ricocheted, and got another hunter. And it's just one of those unfortunate things that happened. Nobody meant to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. But I do appreciate you sharing, because this way people understand it happens to people around us.
Right.
You know, that we know and come into contact with all the time. I've got a situation one time where I was in a situation and took a few rounds, and it's a hard thing to talk about. So I appreciate you sharing with folks, because I think people should know that, you know, not all hunters are crazy or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just sometimes
we're
in situations where,
and there's a lot of people that they don't even know that I've ever gotten shot. They
right.
just, you know, when I bring up the conversation, they're like, well, you got shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, and that's a close situation. I mean, you're describing going through the bottom of your heart. Now, obviously missed lungs then.
Yep, got my gallbladder, spleen, and had a few organs taken out.
Wow, it's crazy. Yeah. Well, we're thankful that you're here. Great. I appreciate you sharing that with us. But you say you've kind of dived into the fishing stuff.
Yeah, well, I didn't fish a lot this year. Didn't fish as much as I wanted last year because of racing stuff. But
right.
I love fishing. It's so relaxing.
Them kids take your time, brother.
They do. Yeah, they do. And if you want to be good in a race car, you have to spend time in the garage, because that's where races are won, in the shop.
Right. So you think next year you're really pushing toward moving up in car. Where does it go from there for CJ?
You know, it's really up to him. Obviously, my bank account's limited.
Right.
is limited. And, you know, we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see, you know. You know, I'd like to find that rich old man that wants to develop a young driver and obviously take him under his wing and just see what happens.
Well, for sure we want him to keep on hunting and enjoying the outdoors and stuff like that. You guys have done a good job there. That's my biggest excitement when I hear about young men.
Yes.
Getting into the outdoors and enjoying something, you know, more than just mayhem, if you know what I mean.
You know, my nephew Jason Lawson, he's been involved in hunting for, forever. And, you know, when he got out there in the woods with CJ, and I was really glad. You know, I was really, really happy. I'm so glad he took him out.
It's a pay it forward type thing, and that's what I I've always been grateful of those times when if Granddad and I didn't get anything. And some of my best memories with him is mushroom hunting and blackberry picking and all that stuff. And it's just that pay it forward thing that people don't understand the bond that comes from that. And that's good your nephew did that and got out there with him. But he had to be excited about that big deer, that's for sure.
Yeah, the first day it was funny, all of us stuffed inside that little blind.
Yeah. yeah. I bet that was interesting. So, Mike, people can get this. You said UncleKillers.com. This is your spice. I recommend everybody try it. I love it. It's good stuff. Like I said, I've put it on a few things. We get so much stuff thrown at us. One of the things I did last year is I played with one of the beekeepers in the area. He's making honey, and then he's putting dehydrated, because you can't put wet or non-dehydrated jalapenos in honey because it reacts and crystallizes the honey.
Oh.
So they were putting dehydrated jalapenos and honey, and we were putting that on pork chops. So I'm gonna have to take your advice and try this too.
Yeah,
and I'll, since we have it on the air, there is a bottle for Don. I'll make sure that he
gets Don,
it.
You have a bottle here for you, and a sticker.
Yep. We'll have to get him his sticker. So we're gonna take a break, folks. You're listening to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show here on Highway 103.